What is the No Spin News all about?
You know that this is a fact-based analysis news program. You know that. We avoid speculation. We don't do conspiracies here. We don't do party politics here. We're not nonpartisan. That's wrong. Not that. Okay, we are advocates for a stronger America and a more just society. We don't believe in communism. We don't believe in socialism. We don't believe in nihilism. We don't believe in the progressive woke culture. We think it is un-American. We don't support that. So you should know what we are. And it would then crystallize what we do.
Listen to the No Spin News. Subscribe to Bill O'Reilly's podcast feed wherever podcasts are available.
It's November 23rd. You're listening to the President's Daily Brief. I'm your host and former CIA officer, Brian Deanwright. Your morning intel starts now. A good day to you, ladies and gentlemen. I've got five briefs for you this morning that are shaping America and the world. First, Dr. Tony Fauci delivered his final remarks at the White House before retirement, talking about COVID-19 booster shots. I'll share with you what he said, to include some misinformation about those COVID vaccines. Second, some sobering news out of Los Angeles. That city is now one of the leading distribution centers for Chinese and Mexican fentanyl. Third, some good news out of California. A nuclear power plant just got a second life with a $1 billion investment. Fourth, the wildfire season is officially over in the western United States. I'll explain why it was such a good year for landowners and loggers alike. Finally, more kids are graduating high school from West Virginia and Alabama, both of which had struggled for years. I'll explain why it's gotten better. And we later close out the podcast with some listeners who are upset with me for sometimes calling solar and wind power dirty green energy. I've got a response. But before we get to that, we got to get started with this. Dr. Tony Fauci, the Biden administration's chief COVID-19 officer, well, he delivered what are likely to be his final comments yesterday at the White House. Fauci plans on retiring in the coming months, and this was his last scheduled time at the White House to speak. So during those final remarks, he delivered a plea for Americans to get updated booster shots against COVID-19, explaining that, quote, immunity and protection from previous shots wanes over time, end quote. So he explained, you might need to get boosted a third, fourth, or even fifth time. He added that, quote, as a physician, it pains me that people aren't getting boosted because I don't want to see anybody getting infected, sick, or die, which of course suggests that vaccines can prevent infection from COVID-19, and that's not true. We have known that now for a while. By the way, Fauci was trying to encourage folks to get boosted because the latest data show that Americans simply aren't doing it. According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, only 31 million Americans have been boosted. That's despite the U.S. government purchasing 170 million doses that actually are supposed to work quite well against the latest COVID-19 variants. Yet, there are some studies that doubt that that's even true. For instance, data from Columbia University and Harvard University suggest that the old vaccines perform just as well as the new. But data from Pfizer and Moderna say, no, actually, the new ones are much better. Well, regardless, public health officials are frustrated that more people aren't getting the latest boosters, saying it's probably due to COVID fatigue. But according to the Department of Health and Human Services, it's actually because there's not enough money from Congress to promote the vaccines. Although that same department confirmed yesterday that they are running ads on radio stations, especially in rural areas, and on social media too, like Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. But when asked how much money they're spending on promotion, the Biden administration refused to answer. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. So folks, I've got no real analysis to offer you on this one, although I would say that by now, the American people are pretty well informed about COVID-19 risks and, of course, the benefits of and problems with vaccination. For better or worse, you all have made your choice. You are largely just not interested in getting boosted. So apologies to Mr. Fauci, but you're making it pretty clear. Your body, your risk, your choice. And with that, we move on to our second brief of the morning. A sobering update on America's battle against fentanyl, which, as PDB listeners know, is the drug that originates in China, gets manufactured in Mexico by their cartels, and then sold in the United States. And it's that distribution network in the U.S. that the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice spoke about yesterday, saying that Mexican cartels have turned the city of Los Angeles into the nation's fentanyl distribution hub. A DHS official said that in L.A. County, his office is on track to seize double the amount of fentanyl this year than he seized in the past 4 years combined. And that's because fentanyl is becoming increasingly cheap to manufacture, about 13 cents a pill. And it's being disguised as other drugs like oxycodone. So users think that they're getting high with one pill, but in fact, it's something far more deadly. And as PDB listeners know, that helps explain why we are seeing a record number of deaths from this drug. Of the 107,000 or so deadly overdoses last year, most of them, over 70,000, were from fentanyl. With that, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I've got three more critical pieces of news for you. All good news, actually. We'll be right back.
What if there was someone out there who kept a log of every single thing you did every minute of the day? Well, yeah, right, that would be pretty creepy. But what if I told you that's exactly what happens every time you go online? Your internet provider, like AT&T or Verizon, is allowed to store logs of every website you've ever visited and can legally sell this data to anyone. Now that's why I'm very pleased to tell you about ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers so your internet provider can't see or log what you do online. Many VPNs claim to have a no-logs policy, but have been caught logging customer activity. ExpressVPN is the only VPN I'd recommend to you, because they use what's referred to as trusted server technology. They were the first major VPN provider to engineer all of their VPN servers to run on RAM only. This makes it impossible for their VPN servers to store any data, including logs, of any ExpressVPN customer. ExpressVPN is so confident in their no-logs claim, they even had one of their biggest assurance firms, PwC, audit their technology. Now here's the point. Stop letting people keep logs of what you do online. Visit expressvpn.com/baker, that's B-A-K-E-R, right now, and find out how you can get 3 months free. That's expressvpn.com/baker. Mike Baker here. When I say the word preparedness, what do you think of? What? Preppers? Doomsday bunkers? Well, the reality is, being prepared for any number of problems or difficulties should be a concern for everyone. You're out hiking or you're camping and you become ill or get injured. The power maybe goes out, the roads are closed, and you've got a child or elderly person at home who gets sick and needs treatment. Or your college student is away at university and gets sick. Maybe you're on holiday somewhere exotic and fun, and your trip is suddenly threatened due to illness. Now you see what I'm getting at. Being prepared for a medical emergency is just being smart. Introducing the JASE case, JASE, J-A-S-E, your personalized emergency medication kit with 5 essential antibiotics addressing common and deadly bacterial infections. Doctor created and recommended, it ensures that you're ready for any emergency. And getting a JASE case is simple. Look, I've done it, and seriously, it could not be any easier. It took no time at all, and the case arrived in days. Just fill out the online form at jasemedical.com. From online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery, ongoing consultation and care, JASE handles it all. Visit jasemedical.com and use code Mike, that's M-I-K-E, just like you probably thought, at checkout for an exclusive discount on your order. Again, that's jasemedical.com and use code Mike. Don't wait until it's too late.
Welcome back to the PDB. I've got three more critical pieces of news for you this morning. First up, some good news for America's supply of reliable energy. The Biden administration has granted a little over $1 billion to the nuclear power plant in Diablo Canyon, California. Now, it was slated to shut down in 2025, largely because of demands by environmentalists and the cost of running that facility. But with these new funds, it'll remain open for at least another 5 years, probably much longer. Now, the reason, folks, that this story is so important for not just California, but the entire nation, is that it is a very clear statement that nuclear energy will continue to be an important part of our energy mix. And that's good, because it's both reliable, and for folks worried about climate change, it produces 100% carbon-free energy. Now, to be fair, critics highlight possible nuclear contamination in the event of a natural disaster or accident. And while that's fair to highlight and study, it's also true that, according to the Department of Energy, America has safely operated 92 nuclear reactors for decades, resulting in the production of about 50% of the country's energy and no accidents. So all in all, this is pretty good news that this nuclear plant in California was saved from the scrap heap. And kudos to the Biden administration, at least in this case, for understanding how important nuclear power is in providing reliable energy to America's homes and businesses. And that, folks, takes us to our next brief of the morning. And we're going to stay in America's West for this one. I've got some good news, especially for my loggers and ranchers listening out there this morning. According to an assessment by the Wall Street Journal, the wildfire season has officially ended out west, and it was far less damaging than compared to previous years. So let's talk some examples. In California, there were about 360,000 acres that burned this year, but that's compared to a five-year annual average of 2.2 million acres. In Arizona, around 160,000 acres burned this year, but that's compared to over 500,000 acres last year. Finally, in an area that covers Nevada, Utah, and parts of Idaho and Wyoming, there were around 400,000 acres that burned this year, but that's compared to a five-year average of 1.2 million acres. The reason for this regional good news, by the way, is that we had cooler than normal temperatures in many of those states, plus some pretty well-timed rain that put those fires out when they did happen. But, of course, that doesn't mean that the many years-long drought is over in the West. According to the U.S. Drought Monitor, about 70% of the American West is still experiencing drought conditions, although that's down from 91% last year at this time. One final note here. It may seem odd to say this, but having some fires out west is actually good. In fact, it's part of the natural ecosystem. Forest fires and wildland fires are Mother Nature's way of clearing out underbrush and noxious weeds and giving new life to soil. And that's largely what happened this year. But when we humans drop ourselves into those fires and put them out quickly and year after year, well, what happens is that more brush and weeds build up, and eventually they will burn. And when they do, there's so much old material built up that the fires burn much hotter and they move much faster. And that leaves trees and their natural protective bark more vulnerable to heat and the flames. The soil suffers too. It gets scalded by the much hotter temperatures. Anyway, I'm simplifying this issue here, and I probably could do a big brief on this, how our federal forest policies have these unintended consequences, and how that leaves a terrible cost to our environment, wild animals, and the logging families and communities out west. And you know, maybe I should do that brief, although I would have to divulge that my father logs in Oregon, and I probably would be a bit biased on that brief, but we'll see. More to come. And that takes us to our last brief this morning. Some good news in the world of education, with data from West Virginia and Alabama on how to help our most vulnerable kids. As any parent knows, graduating our children from high school is a really important goal. According to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, high school dropouts earn just under half of the national average in terms of salary as compared to high school graduates. Plus, there are some pretty big personal and social costs too if you don't graduate from high school, especially when you're trying to build a strong family. But the point is that getting a high school education is pretty critical. Now, historically, West Virginia and Alabama have struggled to do that with their kids. Data from 10 years ago show that they both ranked in the middle to bottom of the country in terms of student graduation rates. But now, they're ranked number 2 and number 3 in the nation. So, how did they do it? Well, a skeptic might first wonder if, maybe they're cooking the books down there, lowering standards and just graduating kids like some sort of puppy mill to get them out the door. But in an analysis done by the Washington Post and a slew of universities and think tanks shows that that's not the case here. Instead, West Virginia and Alabama embraced what most of us would call common sense. They came to understand why most students eventually dropped out. And for them, that was usually because that those kids had fallen behind academically and just gave up. And then school administrators discovered that academic failure usually starts around the ninth grade. Finally, they also discovered that there were two early warning signals of sorts that they were about to lose these kids, which, as it turns out, is first school attendance and second, grades. So once those two states came to understand that, teachers and administrators just started tracking students more closely. And when the data in the ninth grade indicated that a student was in trouble, well, they intervened. As one scholar at the Johns Hopkins University told the Washington Post, it was, quote, nothing dramatic, just lots of problem solving and small efforts that helped put students back on track, end quote. So there's the good news, and frankly, it's kind of common sense. Engage and intervene early and often. And that provides the rest of us a pretty simple pathway to improve schools all across the country. Now, notice, I didn't say it was easy, just modestly simple in terms of understanding the problem. Now, as ever, the devil is in the details and implementation. But it's still nice to know that at least these two states have figured out somewhat of a solution, one that most of us can get behind no matter your party affiliation. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we conclude your morning brief. But I've got one more thing before I let you go. We'll be right back.
Hi, Mike Baker here. Look, nowadays, it seems like your money doesn't go quite as far as it used to, right? I mean, take 20 bucks. 20 bucks barely gets you what? Maybe a burger and fries or maybe, I mean, just maybe, a quarter tank of gas? But there still are some real values out there, and let me tell you about one of them. For just 20 bucks a month, that same $20 we just talked about, you can get unlimited talk, text, and plenty of 5G data from the cell phone company that I count on for value, Pure Talk. And this is top-tier coverage on America's most dependable 5G network. I want to make sure you heard that. Pure Talk gives you the same quality of service as AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile, but for half the cost. It's true. I am not blowing smoke up your phone line. The average family saves almost $1,000 a year, all with no contracts and no activation fees. You can bring your phone, or you get great deals on the latest iPhones and Androids. To make the switch, go to puretalk.com/Baker, B-A-K-E-R, just like you imagined it would be. When you do, you'll save an additional 50% off your first month. Choose a wireless company that shares your values. Pure Talk supports our military and veterans and creates American jobs, all while giving you outstanding coverage and terrific value. Go to puretalk.com/Baker and make the switch today. So maybe you could actually afford that burger and fries and possibly even a full tank of gas. That's puretalk.com/Baker.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been delivering on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes who put their lives on the line to protect our country and our communities. Heroes like Bristol, Connecticut Police Sergeant Dustin DeMonte. After responding to a domestic violence incident, he sustained fatal gunshot wounds. He left behind his expectant wife and two children. Thanks to the generosity of people like you, Tunnel to Towers paid the mortgage on the DeMonte family home, lifting a financial burden. As his loved ones mourned the decorated officer's loss, they welcomed a miracle, the child he would never get to meet. So many families need your help. Please help America's heroes and their young families. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good in their honor. 95 cents out of every dollar you donate goes to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
Welcome back to the PDB, folks. I've got one more thing before I let you go. During yesterday's brief, we talked about countries around the world looking to form cartels for the production of key minerals. Those minerals, like nickel and lithium, are necessary for the solar, wind, and electric vehicle revolution that we are all living in, plus, of course, the batteries to power it all. Now, sometimes on the PDB, I refer to that industry and that revolution as dirty green energy. And it's that phrase that has made some listeners pretty upset. They think that that demonstrates my bias, or it's just simply offensive. And in fact, a couple listeners even said that they're going to stop downloading this podcast because of that phrase. So let me give you some examples. First was Matt from Madison, Wisconsin. He said, quote, "The detailed coverage of the downside to renewable energy, it's amongst the most important topics discussed on the PDB, but please stop using the term dirty green in every reference to renewable energy. It undermines your credibility." I also heard from Scott in Colorado saying, quote, "What's the other option? Are we supposed to go back to oil and gas? No. The immediate focus is curbing the global warming that we alone are to blame for." Finally, I got an email from Marjorie from somewhere in America who said, quote, "Over the past few months, you've talked more and more about dirty green energy. Now, to be clear, I feel it was treasonous for Joe Biden to give away our energy independence. But I also support our prudent expansion into more forms of energy. For instance, I have solar panels and I drive an electric car. Your representation of these alternative forms of energy has been so obviously biased and emotional that I no longer trust you to address it. Your podcast was a breath of fresh, neutral air, at least for a while, and I miss that," end quote. So folks, let me respond by saying this. Thank you. I am honored that people would both disagree and take the time to write me about it. I also appreciate and welcome constructive feedback. So for instance, with Matt in Wisconsin, we had a great, productive adult exchange about this very difficult issue. So here's what I offered these folks, and it's what I would offer to you all this morning. Do me a favor. Pull up your favorite internet browser and type in solar wind energy, and then do a search. What results do you see? And by that, I mean, what words do you see describing solar and wind? What do the headlines say? Because I know the answer, because I've spent a ton of time on this. What you'll see is an avalanche of reporting and opinion pieces labeling solar, wind, and batteries with words like clean or green and renewable. And I mean, truly, it is virtually all that you will see in both mainstream press and otherwise. But folks, that's just weird. And to understand why, let's just remind ourselves about solar panels. And what we know, what the facts tell us, not what Brian is coming up with, is that solar panels in America are largely manufactured in China using coal power and assembled with slave labor of folks living in concentration camps. And then when a solar panel's life cycle is over, which is about 10 to 20 years, depending on the quality of the panel, well, they get thrown into America's dumps where they leach the chemicals that are inside of them. Now, maybe that dump is properly sealed and maybe it's not. And if not, those chemicals leach into the groundwater. California is dealing with this issue right now, and that's according to the LA Times. There's virtually no recycling of these panels. And of course, every writer of all those articles that you saw when you did your internet search, they all know that these are truths about solar panels, or they should know. And yet they and their editors still choose to call it clean and green and renewable. But folks, all of those terms are marketing buzzwords. They're political slogans or an expression of personal values. They have nothing to do with facts or data on either the costs of solar and wind power or how they actually work. So folks, in a media environment like the one in which we live, in which virtually no one is being honest about the environmental, political, and national security costs of these industries, well, how does one respond? How do I, as someone who's trying to provide facts and data on this, speak to you all, knowing that most every day of every week of every month, you are being told by virtually every media outlet that this is a form of clean, renewable, or green energy? Again, when in fact, it's none of those things. Chinese solar panels made by slave labor, leaching in dumps, is not clean, green, or renewable. So what I've chosen to do, perhaps incorrectly, and that's fair to critique me on this, well, I coined a phrase, dirty green energy. It's a rhetorical device to jar our attention, to cause our ears and brains to perk up and listen. It's a play on words, stealing from the phrase green energy. And for a writer and a presenter, I think it helps me more accurately frame the story and the facts when I present the hidden or unspoken or impolite costs of solar, wind, and batteries. And to emphasize from what I have said from the beginning, the goal wasn't, isn't, nor will ever be to demand that you ought to do certain things or buy certain things or think in certain ways. Nor is the goal to say that we can't or shouldn't embrace solar or wind power or even those batteries. In fact, I've shared with you all that my family uses solar pumps on our pastures to put water in our cattle troughs. So the goal then is to remind us that all forms of energy come with pros and cons. All forms of energy are dirty. They all come with costs. But rarely, if ever, do we hear or see that said about solar, wind, or batteries. And that's suspicious to me. Why is it that our media and our government try to just ignore that or even sweep it under the rug? Why can't we be honest and say that it's dirty? It's just weird. And it tells me that something else is going on. So I'm going to keep talking about this issue, and maybe some days I'll just say solar and wind, and other days maybe I'll say intermittent energy, or maybe sometimes I'll refer to it as dirty green energy. But no matter what phrase I use, I'll continue to earnestly pull data and facts for you. I'll continue to elevate a conversation that very few others want to. Now, I hope you stick around for that conversation. And if you think I'm being unfair, I know that you will email me. I truly know it. And I'll tell you what, I absolutely love it when you do. Because engaging with you all has been one of the great joys of hosting this podcast. And so, of all weeks to be thankful and express that to you, this is the week. And that is why I say with great sincerity, thank you. And that, ladies and gentlemen, concludes your morning brief. As always, we close out the show reminding each other of why we are here, talking about our country and our world. It's the creed of every good spy and every smart American. It's from John chapter 8, verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Good day.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.